In this episode of Pop Culture Weekly, it's all about the brand new series Under the Banner of Heaven, and I talked to Andrew freaking Garfield. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and I sound different this week. I know some of you may have seen on Instagram and social that I got surgery. I got a deviated septum taken care of at a bone spur in my nose, in my nostril, and turbinites were reduced and something else, adenoids, and so it's been a recovery, and I still sound a little bit nasally, but I'm sounding better every day, so that's good. But I didn't want to not give you these amazing interviews. So let's, first of all, just I need to bask in a moment because I'm interviewing Andrew freaking Garfield. I mean, literally, that's his middle name, freaking. He is so amazing. Obviously, he is Spider-Man, one of the three Spider-Men. And, you know, he's won so many awards because he's not just a Spider-Man. He is an excellent actor as well. He has been nominated for Best Actor from the Oscars, the Academy Awards, both in 2017 for Hacksaw Ridge and just this year, in 2022 for Tick, Tick, Boom. He won Best Actor in a Leading Role for Boy A for the BAFTA Awards. He won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy at the Golden Globes for Tick, Tick, Boom this year. He won a Tony, won a freaking Tony for Best Leading Actor for Angels in America. I mean, his ridiculously long list of insanely awesome, you know, acting credits, awards, acting awards, just continues to rack up. So, and then, of course, I mean, he doesn't, just his acting credits alone. I mean, the guy's, what, like, not even 40, barely 40, and has been in such incredible films as Boy A. I mean, that was an amazing film. Social Network, Amazing Freaking Spider-Man, and Amazing Freaking Spider-Man 2, and Hacksaw Ridge, and Under the Silver Lake, and The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and Tick, Tick, Boom, and Spider-Man No Way Home, and that is just on the movie side. You know, he's just, he's freaking Andrew freaking Garfield. So, in any event, I interview Mr. Garfield, as well as the cast of the series that he's headlining on FX. It's called Under the Banner of Heaven, and it is so, so, so good that I can't say enough about it. It's a limited series. It's created by Dustin Lance Black, who I also talk with, and it is based on a book of the same name, and apparently this was a real murder thing, you know, like event that happened. And it's pretty interesting. It takes place in, like, you know, the Utah area, heavily LDS church, and, you know, the Mormons are involved, and it's kind of a clash between religion and faith and spirituality with laws. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. So it is super good. It's super dark. You got to watch it. It's on FX on Hulu. So good. So it currently has a like a 90% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So, and that's by people, which is what I care about, you guys. It's by your reviews. So besides the amazing Andrew Garfield, I also talk with the rest of the lead cast, including Daisy Edgar-Jones, who, Hello. Daisy Edgar Jones is freaking amazing. Besides her nominations for Normal People, which, you know, is a big Hulu show from Ireland, she is in the upcoming Where the Crawdads Sing, the movie adaptation about that, which comes from Reese Witherspoon. So that is supposed to be, you know, the book people just rave about, and the buzz on the film Where the Crawdads Sing is really, really, really buzzing. So she's awesome. I talk with her. Gil Birmingham, who is currently also in Yellowstone, where he plays tribal chairman Rainwater. And he was also, you know, in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt as Virgil White. And, by the way, a little tiny set of films you may have heard called Twilight, the Twilight Saga. Yes, he was in those, played Billy Black. I mean, just really, really, really talented guy that's been everywhere, been in the business a long time, and I really enjoy talking with him too. I also talk with the creator, Dustin Lance Black. So if for some reason you've lived under a rock, Dustin is probably best known so far as the writer for Milk. You know, he won the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay for Milk. He wrote J. Edgar, love that movie. He has done so many films. I mean, he was a writer on Big Love, which I think is super interesting because he grew up Mormon, and I'm going to talk to him about that. He did the story and the screenplay for Pedro about Pedro Zamora from the Real World San Fran. Of course, Milk, J. Edgar, When We Rise, you know, just insanely talented guy. So I'm excited for you to hear my interview with Dustin. Oh, and by the way, Dustin is married to Tom Daley, like the British Olympic champion Tom Daley. Yeah. So in any event, let's get right into it because I'm so excited and I want you guys to hear these interviews. And if you're not watching the show, which just debuted last night, you got to start watching the show immediately because it is really, really, really good. So first up, I talk with Daisy Edgar Jones, Chloe Peary, and Tyner Rushing from Under the Banner of Heaven. Man, iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Minute. Pop Culture Weekly. Apparently, I forgot the name of my own show. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. The series is absolutely incredible. It is nail-biting, gripping. It is incredible. And the acting is just absolutely insane. So kudos to all of you for that. My question is, I'll start with you, Daisy, if that's okay. You have an interesting role in this, and that you're kind of in two timelines, if you will. I'm trying not to be insanely spoilery. What is that like as an actor to play something like that, that is a little bit more complicated than, you know, maybe a typical role?
Yeah, I mean, I think because, you know, for a large amount of Brenda's scene, it's a sort of I think for all of it, it's a flashback, you know, to her. And obviously it's being sort of narrated by Billy's character, Alan. But I think, you know, so there was a sense where I was like, do I play a version of Brenda that is it a memory of her? And therefore, do I play a version of her that is his memory? Or do I play sort of what I think, you know, Brenda is? And so I think I chose to go with the latter. And because I also think in those scenes, she's really the audience's lens into, you know, the family that this sort of story surrounds, which is the Lafferty's. So that's a really good question. I mean, I think, I think trying to find really the truth of the character scene to scene was really sort of how I approached it.
I love that. And Chloe, you, I needed like a chart for the entire family because it was so hard. Chloe, you, your portrayal is very unique, I would say, in the family. And how did you approach that as an actor?
I felt like Matilda really like leapt off the page in this story, and it was really, she's such a strange character, and it took me a while to figure out what was driving the way that she communicates and the way that she expresses herself, and what leads to some of the like slightly clumsy way of inhabiting, and how she is with Brenda, just very overwhelming. Presence for Brenda probably in those early scenes. And and I think when I realized that she just really wants to belong desperately, and she's left a different culture and she's left a different faith behind her, and she has two children from a previous relationship, and she's coming in, like the magnitude of that and how it might play out on her, it became not easy, I wouldn't go that far, but it was a real window into what's driving her sort of survival throughout the series, which I feel like she's in survival mode from mm-hmm. the beginning in a very weird way.
I love that. And for you, Tyner, you play almost, I wouldn't even say almost, a very iconic person historically, particularly for the LDS community. Did you feel any
elect lady?
Yeah. Yes. Did you feel like weight behind that? Or were you able to put that out of your mind?
Well, at some point you have to just, I think one of y'all said this earlier, you know, you do all this research and then you have to sort of let it go and trust that it's there. And then just be a human, right? I felt an immense responsibility to do her story justice, to serve her, to tell her story to the world too, because I think we're maybe telling it like it hasn't been told mm-hmm. before, and it's important. I think it's incredibly important to know that Emma Smith was a total baddie. Mm-hmm.
It is exciting for the viewer the way that the series is built. Like you said, it's told in a way that has never been done before, and you know, I love the different timelines and everything that's going on. It just adds up to this, in my opinion, a masterful, execution of this series. So my final question and this is kind of for you all, was there anything in particular that you could relate to with your characters being who they are?
I think for me, actually, Brenda sort of is one of the sort of closest characters to me. I think I played. Mm. I think she's. I think we see quite, and I hope this is the case because, but you know, she's in a very, very joyful, empathetic person, and I think I am too. So that actually aspect of her I really did relate to. And I think also she's someone who's very observant, and she spends a lot of her time watching others, and I guess you know. As an actor, that's a big part of what I do is sort of observing others and trying to think about how another person would experience or feels or experiences life. And so I think that's something Brenda clearly does too, you know.
I love that. And how about for you?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm playing a Scottish woman, and I'm a Scottish woman, so that was something I could bring to it. I feel like, you know, that sort of sense of otherness and her trying to fit in, and actually it's really interesting to sort of think about somebody who's been transplanted themselves really very far away from where she's from, and how that might play at the particular cultural baggage that Matilda might have that's now in this new situation, in this new faith to her, and this like patriarchal family that's quite dysfunctional, and there's a lot of codes and ways things you're supposed to do and not do, and she has to learn it all really quickly. And I think once I was kind of in that place in my head, I was like, that feels, you know, we've all been in situations like that where we're just trying to survive socially. So yeah.
Emma and I are like, in the sense that I think we We both like to challenge the men in our lives. And then also I would add that, you know, I'm a queer person and I grew up in Christianity. And so I experienced some challenges there. And, you know, Emma's a woman who experienced challenges from her religion as well, ultimately, right? So we have those things in common. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. I can't wait for everybody to see this. And all three of you are just absolutely incredible in it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Love those super talented ladies. Look for them everywhere. But Daisy Edgar-Jones, look for her in the upcoming film Where the Crawdads Sing, which I'm sure we'll be covering right here on your favorite entertainment-related pop culture podcast. That's this, Pop Culture Weekly, in case you were confused about what your favorite one is. Anyway, up next, creator of Under the Banner of Heaven and the writer of Milk and Pedro and J. Edgar, the one and only Dustin Lance Black.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. So first of all, congratulations on this series. It is, as I was writing notes as I was watching it for review, and I put masterful in so many ways, and it's incredible, and I can't wait for people to see it. Why was this story important for you to tell?
Well, first of all, I'm just trying to get past what you just said. I've not shared this with very many people, so... thank you for that. I'm almost emotional. It's been a 10-year journey for me.
I mean that 100%. It really is just masterful art. So thank
don't
you.
Don't make me cry. Don't make me cry on the radio. No one can see the tears. This is meaningful to me because I grew up Mormon. This is meaningful to me because I loved the church that I grew up in. I loved the culture of the church that I grew up in. And then I found it so disheartening and concerning when I dared to demonstrate curiosity and start to ask questions, you know, and I had my hand slapped for that. When I dared to ask why my mother, a single mom raising three boys, was treated as inferior to the men in the church, I could tell that wasn't true. I knew my mom was smarter than those guys. But I wasn't allowed access to those answers. I wasn't allowed to ask the questions. And you know, my mom would leave the church when our home became violent and it became clear the church wasn't going to help us out. And I left with her. And it wouldn't be until, I mean, honestly, reading John Krakauer's book was one of the very first eye-opening moments, this lightning strike moment where so many of those questions that I wanted to ask were answered. So many questions I had never even thought to ask were answered. And, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I didn't stop there. I looked into what the church had criticized about the book, and I put pressure on those spaces and those ideas. I did some more digging of my own. I started to understand what it was about this faith and frankly other faiths around the world that created this incredible, this horrific, I should say, amount of misogyny. Mm-hmm. That it seems the world just passes down generation to generation without question. And, you know, when you look into the history and you look into it in a deep fashion, it became very clear to me that this wasn't God. This is men's desires. This is selfishness. This is a power grab. You know, and I guess the question to why stick with it so long is because it was personal, mm-hmm. but also because as time has gone by, unfortunately, it seems the lessons of this show are sadly increasingly necessary. I mean, you know, Salt Lake City in the 80s is like this microcosm of the world today. Salt Lake City in Utah was being hit hard by a recession, and kids like the Lafferty's, who had always been like, you know, the toast of the town, were now going broke. And what do they do? It's this human instinct in tough times to turn back to fundamentalist texts, ancient texts whether they're the Constitution or the Bible. And globally right now, and over the past many years, come on, take a look at the US Supreme Court. We're headed back in a fundamentalist, originalist direction. And Brenda Lafferty and her story and this story is a cautionary tale that says, beware of following ancient dusty texts, because although there's value in them and some things that still work, there are a lot of things that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you can find in common across almost all faiths, not just Mormonism, is that these rules written by men are rife with misogyny. And they've given birth to these misogynist gods that we still pray to without question. This show is saying, ask the question. Ask the question, is a misogynist God worth your prayers? Do you want to teach your children to pray to a misogynist? And if the answer is yes, that's your right. But I hope when people stop and actually ask the question, that many people will say, you know, I'm not okay with that. And maybe the wise path is the one where we look to faith and these structures that have been built over millennia, and we find what keeps our families safe and our communities safe and healthy, and we keep those pieces. And we look at the pieces of faith that create injustice, and we put them where they belong. We destroy them. We rid ourselves of them because we know better now, and we have an obligation when we know better to do better. That's what this is about to me. That's why I couldn't let it go.
I that is so insanely powerful, and thank you for sharing that with me. I grew up Catholic, and I'm going totally off on a tangent here. I grew up Catholic, and you know, in as I've gotten older, I've started to question within the lens of Christianity why some things seem so catered to certain types of people. In this book. And then, you know, I go and look through historical texts and I realize, well, wait, a group of men changed that, you know, and took selections from this and that and kind of came up with what they believed to or really what they wanted. And then, you know, then you have people believing that. And it's sad because it from in my opinion, it gets off of the message of what those were originally intended to do in many times and used as a weapon.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, it's not, these problems are not exclusive to Mormondom at all. And I'll say for the record, I think Jesus Christ sounds like he was an amazing human being, an enlightened human being, would love to spend time and learn from Jesus Christ. I am very skeptical of modern Christians. I'm not sure Jesus Christ would recognize himself in modern Christians.
I hear you. Gandhi has a famous quote, or I don't know if it's a famous quote, but has a quote that says, I love your Christ, I don't love your Christians, or something like that. And I thought that was a pretty powerful statement. I have to wrap. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I can't wait for everybody to see this. It is really just an incredible series that I can't wait for the world to see.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking with me.
Hey, guys, can I just remind you, I just interviewed Dustin Lance Black. Oscar-winning Dustin Lance Black. Love this man. He is extremely, extremely talented, and I have honestly just loved everything he's written. He's such a talented creator. All right, next up, the moment that we've been waiting for, I'm sure, because it's Andrew freaking Garfield. So here it is, Gil Birmingham and Andrew freaking Garfield.
So, first of all, congratulations on this series. It is extremely powerful, very engaging and thrilling. So, I wanted to know, both of you have been in huge, you know, blockbuster franchises. What is it like going from something, you know, Andrew, in your case, something like the Spider-Man franchise to going to a kind of small, very intimate in many ways type of production like Under the Banner of Heaven?
It's great, man. I love all forms of storytelling, and to be able to slip between different mediums and sizes of crew and types of story. I love anything that feels outside of my experience. So I'm always looking to expand my own consciousness. And this story in particular is a consciousness expanding ride. And I'm excited for audiences to see it.
And how about for you, Gil? You have walked a similar line.
You mean with like the blockbuster Twilight?
Exactly, the Twilight franchise. Twilight.
Yeah, boy, that's still playing, probably, if you turn your TV on right now.
And Yellowstone is like
Yellowstone, the
TV
franchise.
A different demographic. I think every actor has his fantasy to think that what would it be like to be in such a project, you know, that's global and its popularity. And for a bit, you get caught up in the excitement of it. And it's
and
it's
you
great.
Get jaded and
yeah, and get bitter. Then you're glad to do something dark like this. And no, it's a real privilege. It's a real honor to bring, the purpose of what we do is to bring joy to people, you know, and to hopefully improve their life in some measure, you know, feeling good about something. This one is more introspective, you know, and it's kind of a harsh analytical view of maybe the dark road that we can go down as human beings. But yeah, I love doing all types of mediums and storytelling.
One of the things that I love about this series and you two in particular with it is how you are very different characters. You're playing very different people, but kind of searching for the same goal. And I think that's an interesting dichotomy to have, especially as a viewer. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes I'm with Bill and like his way of going about things. And then, you know, sometimes I'm with Jeb and how he goes about things. How does it feel as an actor to kind of put yourself in a place like that where this is dark stuff, you know? And is that one of the joys of acting? Like, you know, what is that like for you?
I think that's cool. I mean, it's a cool thing about these two characters that are seemingly very, very dissimilar is that actually they both share an integrity. They both share a deep longing to be of service and to do right by, Brenda Lafferty and Erica Lafferty, the two victims of this heinous murder. I think they discover that pretty quickly, that they're on the same team, and any differences they have, they put aside pretty quick and actually start to shift each other's consciousness about the other and about life. And there's something quite beautiful. There's a brotherhood that emerges and a kind of mentorship that I think starts to happen from Taba towards Pyrrhi. And in terms of him staying in the kind of the climate of the story, we tried our hardest to disconnect at the end of the day and do our own thing and make sure that we were, you know, having as much joy and fun as possible so that we could come back the next day and give our energy back to this very, very dark story. But, you know, we were always looking for the cracks of light between us to be able to express that dynamic on camera, the kind of the gallows humor of like two soldiers in the trenches together trying to survive and keep each other alive in spirit as well as in body. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really fun, rich time in my life.
It still is.
Yeah, it still is. Yeah. Still going, brother.
And do you feel similarly, Gil?
I do. It's interesting because you have a process. We each have a process of how we approach characters. And there was something very similar in our real life dynamics is that unfolded on screen. And that is, how do you be the best performer for what you're doing in life? How do you, for these two characters, how do you be of service as the best human being you can be? And his coming from, a structured organization that spoke to him that this is how it's done. And then my cultural background telling me this is how it's done. And then there is a meeting in the middle there, you know, where they come to appreciate and respect both sides. and we both grow from it.
I love it. I cannot wait for audiences to see this series. I was on the edge of my seat, and it's just so well done from top to biting, from top to bottom, writing to acting. Thank you guys for speaking with me. Thank you for your incredible performances in this, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
You too.
Thanks.
Hey guys, can I just remind you that I just talked with Gil Birmingham and Andrew freaking Garfield. That's his middle name. I've established this. That's his middle name, Andrew freaking Garfield. Love that man. Love Gil Birmingham. Love Under the Banner of Heaven. I know that you will enjoy it just as much as I am. Let's talk about it. It's a weekly show. So, you know, it is a limited series, but it's weekly. So it's not, let's just binge them all at once. And I watched the first half because I start to get upset when I can't talk with you guys about it. You know, I've seen the first, you know, I've seen the whole series of something, and then I can't like talk with you about it because I don't know where you guys are, because we're not on the same page, because I'm like, you know, I finished it 2 months ago and they've just released episode one. So this is cool because Under the Banner of Heaven is released on FX on Hulu every single week, week by week, episode by episode. So it is what it, so that's cool. And the season finale will, or no, the series finale, the end of the series will debut June 2nd. So we have, you know, a good month and a couple weeks to talk about this. I love Under the Banner of Heaven. It's dark, gritty, but very real, very imaginative and creative in the way it's done. You know, Dustin Lance Black is an icon in this industry for a reason. He is truly a visionary, and he brings a book that I thought would be unable to be made into a series, and he does it incredibly. So, Under the Banner of Heaven, love it, right, exclusively, forever, exclusively on FX on Hulu, okay? So let's talk about it. Hope you loved all the interviews. If you want to see any of the video versions, go to podcast.popcultureweekly.com and, you know, click on the episode you want to watch the videos for, and then you can see them there. So I will talk to you all next week. You know I love you. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
Andrew freaking Garfield. Andrew freaking Garfield. He's the amazing Spider-Man, and is also a Mormon detective. And he also does a thing about Facebook. And did the movie Boy Yay about a juvenile served 14 years in prison. And that's why he's Andrew freaking Garfield.